Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There were some wholesale changes on the defensive side of the football for a team that didn't feel like its defense performed up to expectations. Remember them going out and getting Bradley Chubb midway through the year, right before the trade deadline, signing him to the big extension, and then not getting huge results down the stretch. So whenever a team struggles in an area like that, doesn't fulfill its expectations, usually there are changes that follow. The changes that followed today came on the defensive side of the football. Four coaches let go, including the defensive coordinator.
That is Adam Schefter from ESPN on the recent dismissal of Josh Boyer. Still waiting to see if it's official. Actually, we can ask our next guest. We are doing some offseason previews for the Bills' opponents. We started yesterday with the Jets. We were going to stay in the division this week, so Miami is up next. A lot of questions about the Dolphins, some of them surrounding the health of their quarterback. Joining us on the Western Hotline is Chris Perkins. He covers the Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, and he's with us right now. Chris, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Nice to have you on the show again. Thanks for your time today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. I am in New Orleans. I'm about to drive over to Mobile for the Senior Bowl. Dolphins have a second-round pick and two third-round picks. You know, they lost their first round pick with, you know, typical Dolphins fashion with the tampering thing. So we'll see what happens here, and we'll see if they get Vic Fangio, and we'll see if they can improve on what they did last year.
Chris, we joke not only the Dolphins get punished, a lot of the league gets punished because every draft pick number is going to be off by one.
Yeah, that's right.
After Miami's pick is forfeited.
Right. Thank you again, C. Roth, right?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So Fangio, does it appear it's going to be done at some point? If so, like we were talking about this yesterday, that's a real nice pickup for a guy to turn that defense around, right?
That would be a huge get for the Dolphins, but it would also be so Dolphins if they leaked this information prematurely and the deal wasn't done. So we're going to wait and see. You know, I think that there is room for everybody to be correct. Because, you know, ESPN and NFL Network reported that the Dolphins and Fangio, I believe, have agreed to terms or agreed in principle. And then Mike Silver reported that he had talked to Fangio and no deal is done yet. So I'm thinking that this might kind of be like the oral commitment in college football, right, where, you know, it's non-binding and, you know, the guy says he's going to go there, but it's not official until he signs. So I'm thinking perhaps Fangio and the Dolphins have agreed to terms, but because nothing is signed, he's still able to talk to other teams and fish around. So that's what I'm thinking is the deal, but who knows? Because it's the Dolphins, who knows?
Yeah. That's one of the stories I read, the speculation was, I guess Fangio has a relationship with Kyle Shanahan, so is it possible right. He's waiting to see if DeMeco Ryans leaves, which he's expected to do, leaves San Francisco, gets a head coaching job, then Fangio goes and works for Shanahan instead?
That is a possibility. That's one thing that's out there. And so, you know, you would guess that the Dolphins are the ones who leaked the news that they've agreed to terms with Fangio, so again, you would hope that the Dolphins didn't jump the gun and leak this news pre prematurely, or, you know, perhaps there was a misunderstanding. But, I think everybody, even when the Dolphins were talking to Fangio, everybody knew that there was a chance that Miko Ryans would be leaving and that job would open up. So, again, we'll see what happens. But, yes, it would be a huge get. Now, I'll say this, that Fangio, you know, the way that the Dolphins played previously under Josh Boyer, the defensive coordinator, they used the cornerbacks Xavien Howard and Byron Jones to shut everything down. And then they played with Fangio. His team defenses are usually led by the front seven. So I would think there would be a difference in style for the Dolphins defense if Vic Fangio takes over.
I want to certainly ask you about Tua Tagovailoa because so the Dolphins came out recently and said they anticipate him being back next season. He's their quarterback going forward. But if you're the Dolphins, do you just take that and you don't have to worry about it? Or do you think they would pursue is it Teddy Bridgewater? Do they need to pursue a backup plan in the event that Tua is not healthy and can't play at any point next season?
They do, yes. And you know, it's really the whole Tua thing has been very bizarre. And we'll start from the back and work forward through the season. But, you know, we recently saw the news that the Dolphins have no plans to pursue Tom Brady. That was leaked. We saw the news that Tua is still in concussion protocol. That was leaked. But then publicly at the season-ending thing, the Dolphins made it very clear that Tua is going to be their starting quarterback for 2023. And so I'm wondering, what is the advantage in leaking that Tua is still in protocol and in saying that they don't intend to pursue another quarterback? I mean, are they going to say, we back Tua all the way up to the wall, but then – you know, we figured we couldn't do it. The guy stayed in protocol too long, so we had to go pursue Tom Brady. I'm very cynical and skeptical, as you can tell. Yeah. I should just take this news at face value and say that the Dolphins are further solidifying that Tua is their starter, and they're just being honest and saying he's still in protocol, and they're showing that they're being cautious. But I wonder who leaked it and what's the advantage. What message are you trying to send by leaking that information? But getting back to your thing, to your question, yes, they do have to have a backup plan for Tua. And with all the Tua coddling that we've seen, I wonder if you bring in a backup such as a Baker Mayfield, who has designs on being a starter, and he goes, say, 2-0 or 3-0, is that going to spark a quarterback controversy? Is that, you know, Tua's out with another concussion and now Mayfield has taken over, maybe Mayfield should be the starter? We saw what happened with Tua and Brian Flores and kind of the mental beating that Tua took, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is coming into games. One thing that McDaniel was very good at doing last year was propping up Tua and saying Tua is our guy and he's a good quarterback. So all the Tua news, I'm always wonder what's the ulterior motive behind it and what are they working towards.
Chris, the Dolphins are obviously trending up. They made the playoffs. What are the biggest needs you think this franchise has going into the offseason?
I think cornerback, offensive tackle, and running back are among the three biggest needs. At corner, we don't know if Byron Jones is coming back. Xavien Howard made the Pro Bowl, but it was a down year for him. They get Nick Needham, the slot cornerback. He was out with Achilles for like maybe the last 10 games or maybe longer than that. So, and then an offensive tackle, you know, Teron Armstead on the left side, he barely was able to play against you guys. You know, you saw that he went out shortly before halftime with a hip injury, but he had hip, ankle, toe, and knee injuries. He's going into his 10th year. He's a Pro Bowl player. He made the Pro Bowl, but I'm not sure Teron's going to be around for another couple of years. And then you'll need a right tackle to protect Tua's blind side. And inside linebacker will be another position, but running back, you know, that was the Mike McDaniel thing where they were second to the last in the league in attempts. They had two decent running backs, but you would like to get an upgrade from Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert. So those are the positions that I'm thinking: cornerback, offensive tackle, running back, and then inside linebacker.
Final thing for you, Chris: evaluate good and not so good. But so give us your evaluation of Mike McDaniel season number one.
Oh boy, I was a lot harder on Mike McDaniel than a lot of people. I thought that offense kind of gave out late in the season. A lot of people chose to blame the defense. I blame the offense. You can't just score 17 points at San Francisco. You can't just score 17 points at the Chargers. They did well in the two games against you guys, against Buffalo. scoring 29 and 31 points. But those were the outliers for the second half of the season for that offense. So Mike McDaniel showed that he was a rookie coach with the play calling, with, you know, just trying constantly trying to go to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle when you had the tight end Mike Gesicki that they didn't use. You had a running game. And so that was one thing that he did. And then the play calling and the clock management, you guys saw that up front in the playoff game. It was off. Yes, you had a third-team quarterback, but you had played with backup quarterbacks for a good part of the year. That process should have been smoothed out. So I think I gave McDaniel a B- because things fell apart, that five-game losing streak at the end of the season. But again, he was a rookie head coach. He should be better next year. So do the Dolphins make the playoffs next year? I don't know from where we sit right now. I've probably got them around 9 wins again. And Mike McDaniel, that's the number one thing for me. Above Tua being healthy and better, I think Mike McDaniel has got to be better.
Well, Chris, first, thank you for coming on with us. We always like having you on the show. And have fun in Mobile.
Okay. All right, guys. We'll talk later, I'm sure.
Thank you, Chris. Chris Perkins from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He brought up running back, by the way, and one of the things I did see an article in the Miami Herald about running back and who they might go after in free agency. One of the names mentioned was Devin Singletary.
Hmm.
South Florida guy, Florida Atlantic University. Maybe bring him in. I wouldn't think it would cost him a ton of money to get Devin Singletary, so keep an eye out for that, because I don't think Devin Singletary's back here next season. I would assume he's going to be elsewhere.
The Ravens have announced that Tyler Huntley is going to the Pro Bowl.
I'm going to get to your calls in a moment. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And he's doing it because Josh Allen is going to miss the game with an injury. This is something that's going to be kind of funny. Josh will miss the Pro Bowl, according to the NFL, with an injury. He will be on television on a different channel playing golf.
Yeah.
So they can't say he just doesn't want to go, right? They have to say he can't play.
This is like when I used to tell my mom I couldn't go to school because I was sick, and that night in the schoolyard, I'm playing softball with the guys in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oops.
I guess what I've learned now is you don't need your UCL to swing a golf club. I mean, Josh did this last year, too.
His elbow's okay to go play golf?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
He skipped the Pro Bowl last year to play golf in the Pro-Am, and he's doing it again. And it
That's
is
fine.
Just funny that it's got to be television. They cannot say he's chosen to golf instead. Aaron Rodgers is golfing too.
Is he?
I don't know if he made the Pro Bowl, but or if he would have been far enough down the list. How many touchdown passes Tyler Huntley have this year?
Boy, he played a whole bunch of games. 3.
2.
Ah!
I was looking at the entire list of quarterbacks and who has 2 touchdowns to see if there was any position player that had 2. Like Braxton Berrios threw a touchdown.
Yeah.
Taysom Hill threw 2. How many did Bailey Zappi throw?
Oh, my goodness. Did he throw any touchdowns?
5.
Oh, no. I didn't know he had that
Why
many.
Isn't Bailey Zappi in the game?
Maybe he's the next guy on the list.
Mac Jones? Ryan Tannehill. Half the league, did they not even bother asking?
Derek Carr?
All these guys that just don't want to go? Jacoby Brissett.
Couldn't that be it? Did they ask 10 quarterbacks and they all said no?
Pretty much.
So they got the Tyler Huntley.
Jacoby Brissett. I also wondered about this. I should have asked Sal this during our segment, talking a lot about the salary cap. With Saffold and Dawkins and who was the third guy that made it for the Bills yesterday?
Knox.
Do any of them have incentives in their contract that mean the Bills lose
more money?
Cap space?
Oh, yeah. I hope not.
Because is this a gambit by the league, by the players, that every player skips to give everybody else a raise?
Oh, you're talking about collusion?
Player collusion.
Yeah, you say no, some guy gets in and it helps they get more money. And
yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. That'd be smart by the players to do that.
Because if the news comes down, Bean gets it across his desk. What's that? Dawkins, Saffold, Knox. Ah, geez, cap space.
Don't you think they'll change this? And because Pro Bowl is not earned on what you've done on the field. Pro Bowl is 17 guys decide not to go, you're in, and you're gonna get paid more in your contract because you made the Pro Bowl.
I'm glad that Saffold's
a Pro Bowler.
They're just Pro Bowl games now because it's a lot more interesting to just have events and
yeah.
have some fun. Whoever wants to go can go have fun and, you know, vacation on the league's dime.
Good for Josh, by the way. I'd rather see him in the Pebble Beach this weekend than in the Pro Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
It's far more entertaining watching Josh play golf with all these celebrities.
Yeah, but they'll get credit for being a Pro Bowler. Like,
yes.
You go to Tyrod Taylor's Pro Football Reference page right now, it does say one-time Pro Bowl. And he didn't get, like, he was an alternate that ended up going because, like, three guys said no.
Trevor Siemian is a Pro Bowler, right?
Siemian said no to it, though.
But that still means you are a Pro Bowler, right?
As long as you're invited, do you get credit for being there, or do you have to physically show up and play?
Siemian does not, on his page, does not have credit for it. I think it's that if you are one of the original names, like if you're one of the first three that gets nominated.
Or play?
Yeah, or play. Okay. But if you are an alternate and don't play, then you don't get credit for that.
That makes sense.
You either have to go or you have to be one of the first guys voted there.
Especially with the contract provisions now and how the Pro Bowl affects contracts and cap, it's even more important to do that to make sure we don't credit guys without being there.
Trevor sent me with three nicknames on his Pro Football Reference page, by the way.
Hold on. I'm going to go with, let me guess. Touchdown Trevor.
No.
T-Sim.
No, you're getting, I mean, you're on, you're
Simmer.
Closer to the right
Simmer.
Track.
T-Sizzle.
T-Sizzle. You were like, no,
you're,
that's yours.
You're really close.
Who's that? Terrell Suggs is T-Sizzle.
Yeah, he might be T-Sizzle.
Simmer.
Siemian is T-Money Sizzle.
T-Money Sizzle
is his first nickname.
Everybody, of
that's
course,
glorious.
Calls him T-Money Sizzle. Yes.
T-Money Sizzle?
And also T-Money Wiggle or T-Dot are his three nicknames.
Amazing.
Turn down a Pro Bowl invite once upon a time.
T-Money Sizzle.
What has happened more? Trevor Siemian has been referred to as T-Money Sizzle, or Tom Brady has been called the Pharaoh.
Oh, never. He's never been called
that. That's
on
his Pro Football Reference page as a nickname, the Pharaoh.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Who? What? The? Huh?
The
Pharaoh?
You want to know my theory?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody probably did it once, but people started calling Peyton Manning the Sheriff, and Tom probably said to somebody, you got to give me a nickname better than the Sheriff. What about the Pharaoh? Peyton was the Sheriff, and people did call him the Sheriff.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
Absolutely called him the Sheriff.
The Marshal, would a Marshal be above Sheriff on pecking order? Let's get connected with our fans. Dan's been holding on in Williamsville. Dan, go right ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I had a question about the replay. When Kansas City got that first down, the player reached his arm across, and of his own volition, he pulls his arm back. And when the player goes the wrong way, like the rule says forward progress has to do with the defense pushing you back, but it wasn't a touchdown where the play's over once it crosses. The player continues the play, pulls the ball back. So I'm not sure, how did they rule? How did they look at it through that whole commercial and not say, oh, yeah, that's not – he doesn't get the forward progress. It was his own error.
I didn't realize that was not – I'm going to tell you, I didn't realize that was the rule. I thought by him reaching forward, even though he pulled it back, he got the line by reaching forward. So you'd think if it's indeed the rule, Dan, that they would have said that in the break, hey, yeah, he gained – well, but you can't do that. The ball actually – so I don't know. I have no idea if that's the rule, how they all missed it in the break.
So, which is fine, and let's just go with the rule it's called. One of the things I think they could do to fix it is if it's the ref's mistake – so I'm not talking about the glitch I'm talking about here. Let's go with as called. So Kansas City is correct.
Which, by the way, hey, you know what? Hey, I just forgot. Which one? Pereira, whoever? Sterator? No, that was a Sterator. Gene Sterator was in the booth. Like I don't remember him saying at any point, well, you can't give the first down to Marquez Valdez-Scantling because he pulled his arm back. So if the rule is on the books, nobody knew it.
Yeah, well, the rule doesn't specifically say the arm. The rule talks about forward progress.
Yes, yeah.
Yep.
And it talks about the defense, pushing you back.
Yeah.
And so this is not the defense pushing you back.
No,
I would compare this to the same as had he run across the first down marker and run back a yard.
Yeah. Right.
What's the difference with your feet and your arm? It's you pulling the ball back.
Yeah.
I always think that – thanks, Dan. We got to break in. I always think that the idea of diving and reaching for the first down – sometimes officials in a game will treat that like you're reaching for the goal line and you reach the 32-yard line.
Yeah.
And other times, they don't care about that. You know, it's just, you were probably around here.
Sal just texted me a link to Football Zebras on Twitter.
Yeah, saw that.
When a runner puts the ball forward and voluntarily takes it back, they do not get the forward reach. I did not know that. And my question would be, How did all of the NFL people not know that? That happened. This was not, oh my God, can't somebody ran to the line and they had an entire break to look at this, right? They reversed the call, right? Isn't that, they used the break to look at it and reversed the ruling on the field, which he was short. How does someone not know in their own rule book it says you can't give him the line to gain because he voluntarily pulled the ball, unless they ruled he didn't voluntarily pull the ball back.
Wait, so if he reaches the ball out
and then brings his arm back, he's not supposed to get the additional yardage.
Progress.
Unless it's a touchdown.
Correct. Yes.
Breaking the
play. This is where like
stupid NFL.
Sometimes we decide that plays continue and
totally
sometimes
agree.
We don't. Like a guy could be, right, reaches the ball over the goal line, plays over. But unless it's a catch, and now we have 8 seconds of play that actually goes on beyond it to see if he actually completed it.
This may be a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it because I think it's a valid question. I don't remember the replay. Did he reach the ball forward and then the defender pulls the arm back?
No, he pulls it back to protect the ball.
All right, I didn't remember what happened. So I don't know, how the NFL misses that.
While we're at it, it's not perfect, but the Purdy fumble, was that not blown dead?
Yes, it was, and it should have been.
Was it?
Shouldn't have been. Yeah, the Eagles had the ball, and they were running it back. I forgot about that. The Eagles, you're supposed to let the play continue and not use the whistle because you have replay. I forgot all about that play. You're right.
Blown dead.
Philly had the ball.
And we went through that for a long time. Let every play out. Don't blow it dead.
Which has happened a number of times over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not supposed to blow the whistle. 8:03.
How about the Kelce lateral? Forget about that one.
Oh, my God. He tried it. Didn't he almost try it again?
He looked like he was going to do it a second time, I think, on that same drive.
We were debating, the guys that were watching it, whether or not he did that on his own or whether that was a design play.
100% design.
You think 100% design?
Yeah. In fact, there's a link to the dots. You know how, like, we get the dots now? And it would have been Bill Barnwell had this. Watch the dots. You pretty clearly see.
Kelce looked right away from 100%. McKinnon. He caught it and didn't even hesitate. It was like, catch, pitch.
He knew he was coming. A tight end hook and ladder is what they ran here.
Which is cool, by the way.
McKinnon's coming out of the backfield. He is waiting, and he's ready for it. And it would have got another like 10 yards if they hit it.
Maybe the second one was more of an improvisation. Joe, I don't remember that one. But the way he reacted so fast to catch it and pitch it, you had to know he was waiting for the trailer to come, I think.
I think we need more designed laterals in football.
More hook and ladders?
Yes.
Barnwell's comment was, this is from the future. Like, we soon will.
Yeah.
Maybe that becomes more of a regular part.
Loved it. Hook and ladder in the first quarter of a conference championship game? Great.
Look up, there's a play that the Buccaneers had with Jameis Winston a few years ago where they had like 10 seconds to go, no timeouts, and they needed a touchdown on like the 30-yard line. They were in a QB draw. Up the middle with Winston. Everyone flooded to the middle of the field, and it was all a fake. The play was designed as a throwback to DeSean Jackson, and they would have scored had Winston's lateral been better. Like, that was a design play because of the end of the game, but
yeah.
I like that. I think there should be more design laterals in football.
803.
More laterals.
Yes.
803-0550 to join us. Oh, no, we did that. Yeah, okay, we're good. All right, we'll get a break. We got folks on hold. We get connected with our fans. We get back on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave. I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All the things that this team went through, I've never been on a team this resilient. Just stuff that was clearly out of our control, and guys just continue to fight, and a lot of it motivated us, and just at the end, we just ran out of gas.
Micah Hyde. Yeah, maybe we'll get to this more as the offseason goes, but I kind of brought it up with Sal. Poyer, we think gone.
I think so.
Edmonds, we don't know.
Yeah.
The defensive line very much being in the focus. Hyde, 1 year left.
Mm-hmm. Oliver, 1 year left.
It would be, if we weren't mad at the offense, a year where we would say, time for the next version mm-hmm. of the McDermott defense. It's almost like the Trey White, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Tremaine Edmonds defense turning the page
mm-hmm.
to a degree. Not fully yet, but you know, Poyer and Edmonds could both be gone, and then I'm down to Hyde 1 year and Trey off the injury. Like, it's the next version of the Sean McDermott defense.
Or you could take some of the monies you'd be spending on defense and use it on the offense.
Well, yes, of course. But
no, but they do. They have big decisions to make. That's why I just think I think Edmonds is going to be re-signed. And I think they're going to say they're going to do that knowing they're going to move on from Poyer and they're going to move on from Hyde, which might be younger players, cheaper players taking over both safety spots. I don't think Ed Oliver's getting a monster contract and a second deal from the Bills. I think they're going to put their money into Edmonds. They still have Milano under contract for, what, a couple more years? You've got the younger guys up front who don't have to worry about for a little while with Rousseau and Basham and Epinesa. I don't know. I feel like Edmonds is going to be resigned because they're going to place his value more than older safeties and a rotational defensive tackle.
Will they place his value, though, above something they think they might be able to get in the open market? Like, do they want to move that money to the offensive side of the football?
You could.
I mean, that would be...
Where would they spend that money?
Is that where you spend it on a wide receiver?
There's your challenge.
The offensive line?
They could spend it on a right tackle.
An $18 million right tackle? A $11 million right tackle.
Or a cheaper guard. It's not an $18 million guard, but maybe they would take it and spend some of it on a guard.
Would that be a bad idea? Would it be a bad idea to rather pay the best right tackle on the market $18 million over Tremaine Edmonds $18
million? Depends. What do you want that tackle to do? You want to be a good pass blocker run blocker?
I mean, I want him to be a good pass
blocker.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're spending that kind of money, I need him to be a pass blocker.
There's a little bit of a trap here. I'm going to set a trap for you.
At least you gave us a warning.
Okay, here it is.
Okay.
Josh Allen's the best in the NFL at avoiding sacks.
Yeah.
Do I really want to... It's not to say how much do I want to invest when part of my investment in him is that he's so good at avoiding them?
Let me change the question then that Joe asked that we were just discussing. Forget right tackle. One of the bigger contracts these guys gave out was at center. Mitch Morse. What if they decide Mitch Morse is done, move on, whatever? Maybe they take the big offensive line contract and find the next high-paid center for this team.
Is that the same thing, though, that like anything on the offensive line is, and I could listen to this, that Allen is one of the best quarterbacks in the league at escaping pressure, so I have the benefit of being able to not spend that many assets on that versus someone that's got a pocket-passing quarterback where you need the good offensive line for them to execute. But, Allen, you don't.
Well, that's why I asked, do you want him to run block really well? Do you just want him to be good all around? I'm looking at SpotTrack. Mike McGlinchey, right tackle, 49ers, free agent. Market value, 10.7.
Oh, I thought it would have been higher, actually, for him.
You want to just spend $11 million on a right tackle?
Gonna get a wide receiver first?
David Questenberry is in that spot now, and Spencer Brown's in that spot as well. Jawan Taylor, Jaguars, younger player, $6 million. You know, how much do you want to spend on the offensive line?
Is it possible they could move Brown inside and then go get the right tackle? Like, could that be thinking of doing that? Wasn't Bean asked about Bean or McDermott? I thought one of them was asked about maybe moving Brown inside.
He was. He's a gigantic person.
Yeah.
I mean, they tried that with Cody Ford, too, who was also gigantic, right? And this gets down to how you spend your draft picks. Drafting a right tackle with your first-round draft pick would save you, let's say you were going to spend 11 on your right tackle, saves you, well, for intents and purposes, $11 million. You want to sign a really good wide receiver, too?
It's going to cost you
that's
over
like
that.
17.
Yeah.
You'll save more money by going the receiver route.
Yeah. So draft the wide receiver, sign the right tackle. If in your scenario, for cap reasons, you'd be
I mean they've only spent money on. I mean Darrell Williams was a bargain, right? Until they re-signed him.
Yeah,
Feliciano was a bargain.
Quentin Spain. Morse was the biggest.
And they move on from offensive linemen like nobody's business. Yeah. Except for Dawkins and Morse. Even Bates was.
And matching his offer sheet was.
Bates was interesting though because it was. Yeah, let's see what you get.
Right.
Okay, fine. We'll match that. Like they. If that's the thing, if you are confident enough, you would just have paid him that. No?
By the way, the whole thing about factoring money to spend and all this other stuff, they'd still have to create the space for this stuff. Even if Edmonds is not figured into the cap next year. The Bills are over the cap without a Tremaine Edmonds contract even figured in. So if they wanted to find $11 million or $15 million for an offensive lineman, they need to create that space. They don't have space now. Let alone money for the draft class, money for a free agent offensive lineman. They've got to find a way to restructure guys or cut guys and create space to make that move. Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to re-sign Edmonds. I really think they're going to put a value on him and his importance to this defense, knowing there are going to be guys leaving this defense in free agency for the next 2 years. Jeremy.
Yes.
Which one? Thank you. Let's get to Scott in Rochester as we get connected with our fans. You're on WGR.
Good morning, guys. So you were just interviewing a guy about the Dolphins, and he kind of said something that was disturbing if I'm a Bills fan. You guys were talking about McDaniel and, you know, how it went. And he talked about how the offense faltered at the end of the season. And he said there were two outlier games, and they were both against the Bills.
Yeah.
Which I find to be very telling about this coaching staff, because clearly the Chargers and the 49ers had a good game plan against the Dolphins, and they really limited their offense. But the Bills coaching staff is so arrogant in the way that they want to play defense that they took nothing away from those games. They didn't adjust, and they just said, hey, you know what? We don't care what the 49ers and Chargers did. We're just going to do what we do because we know it's the best. And those are the two games where the Dolphins scored close to 30 points. And that's just very... And an indictment of this coaching staff, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where they just say, hey, you know what, even Baltimore against the Bengals in that first round of the playoffs, they had a good game plan. And the Buffalo just completely ignored it and just said, we're going to do what we're going to do. I just don't understand why this coaching staff or where they get off with this arrogance saying, you know what, we see what all these other teams do that works, but we're just not going to take anything from it. We're just going to do our own thing. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I wouldn't call the second Dolphins game an outlier. It was a backup quarterback. I mean, it's Skylar Thompson.
No, the game was Tua here, the second regular season game.
I know, you're talking about two outliers, the two Buffalo games.
Oh, okay.
One is the Tua game in the regular season, and one's the postseason game.
Oh, I thought he meant the two. Okay.
No?
I thought he meant Tua played in both the regular season games.
Yes, but he's talking about down the stretch, the offense faltered.
I thought he meant the second game because they had played the 49ers and Chargers and they were skunked offensively.
Right.
Then came here and scored 29.
Right. And then they came here in the playoffs and scored 31.
Okay.
That's how I understood it. The offense faltered.
I was confused. Yeah.
I mean, in the Skylar Thompson game, the Dolphins had 3.3 yards per play. The offense for the Dolphins did not play well that day.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills' defense had a good day. They were just set up a bunch of times with like an 18-yard field and a strip sack fumble. But the point on Tua, yeah, he was really not playing well, and the offense was in trouble. New England, too, right? No, I'm sorry, Green Bay. He had a bad day, got concussed and threw three picks. And then they came here, and they looked like fine. They were prepared to beat the Bills.
Well, again, they had a lead. Yeah, right. I don't know about – I mean, I'm not in the Bills meetings, Scott. I don't know if I'd say arrogance. I would hope. First off, I think largely the Bills are – you know, and Brian Daboll used to talk about this as the offense when he was here as offensive coordinator, and the Bills do it on defense. The Bills believe they get ready for a game and think, okay, what's the best way to beat this team? But they do believe in what they do as opposed to, well, let's see, this team did this, so let's change our plan. Having said that, Scott, I'm not in the coaches' meetings. I'd like to believe if they're watching the game against the Niners, where, my goodness, the Dolphins' offense was completely dominated. The game against the Chargers, where, again, Tua and their offense looked lost. I'd like to believe that if they see some things that are working successfully, they would incorporate some of it into their game plan. So I'm not going to go with it's an arrogant lot, but I think by and large, they do what they believe they do best, to beat an opponent each week. And they must have felt that there was no need to, either they didn't want to or didn't think the right thing would be to just say, okay, this is the Niners game plan. We're going to do exactly that this week. Appreciate your call. Let's get a break. We'll come back and we got Extendo Sports. And at the top of the hour, it is the Extra Point Show with Joe and Sal from 10 to noon on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, we have a story I want to tell you out of Norfolk, Virginia. Put a couple of disclaimers on this story if we could. It's about a JV girls basketball team. Apparently, a 13-year-old player on the team wasn't there, and a coach on the team put on the jersey and impersonated a 13-year-old girl playing basketball.
Yeah, a young 20s-year-old coach, like 23, yes, 24-year-old, yes, or whatever.
And they have highlights of this, and this 23-year-old assistant coach is swatting shots that are brought to the lane, and
wow.
It appears to be somewhat of a dominant performance, and I'd like to say that it's, of course, shameful and shouldn't happen and blah, blah, blah. But it's also a little bit objectively funny. And this is like Danny Almonte, right, when he was 15.
Oh, that's right, the pitcher. Loaded pitcher.
Gassing hitters.
Yeah.
It's obviously a thing about integrity, and I guess I have decided I would watch maybe a television show where we just knew this was the case, and it wasn't a lack of integrity, but here's Sneaky Joe, he's 25. We're putting him in a basketball game with 12-year-olds. How many can he go off for? Can you get 50? A couple of these kids might be good. I mean, there's something objectively funny about this person just thinking.
So
they
it's
could,
okay if I laugh at this? Does it make me a mean person?
I mean, I don't think you're...
I mean, the video of swatting some poor 12-year-old JV girl's shot?
It's Happy Gilmore. Now you're all in big trouble playing dodgeball with the kids.
I'd like to be in the discussion with the coaching staff when they first brought the idea up. And to hear like, hey, what if we have... You know, so-and-so just suit up and pretend to be the player.
It's a little bit funny.
It is.
There's like an investigation.
It's very strange.
The team canceled its season once everybody found out that this happened.
And the assistant coach apparently does not work for the school district anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they took it seriously and they should.
Yes.
Obviously. That's
yes.
the wrong lesson.
Now
to
that
share.
They've done that, we can watch the highlights. And can't we say objectively, like, how many points? How many rebounds? You get a triple-double out there against 14-year-olds?
It's just, oh my God.
Yeah.
Get that out of here! Joe, you would be blocking shots left and right, right?
I'd put up 50. I could put up 50.
Nice. Taking guys to the hoop, taking
Maybe
these
I'll
little
try
kids
it.
To the hoop all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, Joe, what are your thoughts about doing a show?
I like them.
What are your thoughts about working with Sal?
Good. Sal, though, has a prior obligation in that he will not be until 11. So
all right.
You got just me for the first hour, and then Sal joined me for the second hour.
By the way, on the way out, happy National Backward Day, everybody. Today
National
is National Backward
Day.
So you're encouraged to do something backward.
Not opposite day.
Have dinner.
Backward day.
Backward day. Have dinner for breakfast or breakfast for dinner. Add coffee to your milk. Say goodbye instead of hello when answering the phone. Put your sweatshirt on backward.
Is this I've done
National Backward
I've
Day.
Done breakfast for dinner. I've never done dinner for breakfast.
Watch a movie backward.
Well, technically, if you've done breakfast for dinner, aren't you always doing dinner for breakfast? Think about it.
Oh, my God. You just blew my mind with that. I have to think. Thank God the show's over, because I would totally stop
minutes.
The show. I really couldn't be. I wouldn't even be able to talk for like.
If you've done breakfast
for dinner, you've done.
That means you're always doing dinner for breakfast.
Yeah, I have to leave.
Okay.
I can't. I
you've eaten a waffle for
yes,
dinner.
Right.
You've eaten. Well, now you're
now a waffle is a dinner.
Now it
food.
Becomes dinner. Now you have it for breakfast.
Right.
All right.
I'm still having lunch, though.
I'm thoroughly confused. All right, Extra Point Show with Joe, and then Sal joining at 11 is on the way in moments.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.